Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Your medical data is safe in the hands of Chad Everett. I believe that's who that was on a show called Medical Center. Isn't that right? Yeah. 720 WGN, John Landecker, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Herb Weisbaum is the consumer man with the plan, and he's with us again tonight. Hello, Herb.
Hi, John. How's my favorite Landecker?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
I know that you've got a lot to say about medical data breaches hitting a record high and how to protect yourself. And I read the article, and it's quite alarming.
Yeah, we spent a long time working on this one. By the way, I expected you to play the Young Rascals. I said, doctor, Mr. MD,
we
doctor.
We can do that. But that was an actual doctor telling someone that their records are safe.
Yeah, music. He had such gravitas. I know. But this is indeed a serious subject. So as you know, we've talked about many times before, all data breaches are on the rise. And the latest statistics from the Identity Theft Resource Center show that all types of breaches were up 78% last year compared to 2022. That's, you know, an incredible rise. But the healthcare sector led all industries for reported compromises in the past 5 years. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services tracks those, and according to the HIPAA Journal, they cracked 725 major hacks affecting 500 records or more. That's considered a major hack last year. So that means that the health records of 133 million people, or about 1 in 3 Americans, were compromised in these breaches in 1 year. So basically, if your medical data hasn't been used by crooks at this point in time, it's probably in their hands if you take the last couple of years, and it's out there on the dark web where they can buy and sell it, and somebody could possibly use it. And quite frankly, I find that downright scary and alarming, quite frankly.
Yeah, the purpose of them obtaining the records, I think you allude to it in the article, is not necessarily for their personal use, perhaps, but to sell it to somebody for some reason that they want it. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And it might not even be for your, you know, your private medical situation.
Right.
I mean, they may not care whether you had a hysterectomy, or they may not care whether, you know, you had your tonsils out. What they're looking for is the files that are so rich with personal information they can use. It's a treasure trove of data. It's probably got your social security number in there. It's probably got a medical health record in there, an insurance record in there, things that they can then monetize and use to buy various services in your name. So they can rip off the insurance company by putting in false insurance claims. They can rip off the government by putting in false Medicare or Medicaid claims. They might apply for government benefits using Social Security number in your name, that sort of thing. That information is all contained in that medical record. And as you said, they may not even, the people who steal it, it's quite an ecosystem right now. The whole identity theft industry is an ecosystem. There are the crooks who do the hacking and the stealing, and then they sell this stuff on the dark web, which is where the criminals hang out, and they'll have it all broken out. You know, they may have a credit card number, they may have a medical ID number, they may have prescription number, that insurance number, that the thieves can then buy that and use that to do various things. And according to James Lee, and he's the chief operating officer, at the Identity Theft Resource Center, I said, how lucrative can this possibly be? And he says, well, let's put it this way. He says a stolen credit card number on the dark web can sell for between $30 and $60, but information from a stolen prescription label can fetch as much as $100. So that shows you how important to the criminals it is to steal this information, because it's worth a whole lot more money to them.
So if they steal the prescription record, the record of how many refills for that particular prescription would be a part of that, and if they wanted to, if it wasn't a controlled substance, of course, maybe they wouldn't have any interest in it if it wasn't a controlled substance. But I was getting to the point that they could actually fill somebody else's prescription. Would that
be
right?
Yes, they can use all this information. They could get all kinds of prescriptions. They can buy medical goods that they could then either turn into cash or somebody else could use it. They can, you know, they could buy wheelchairs. They could buy anything that people use medical. They could, again, put in false insurance claims and just get money back for procedures they didn't have. I mean, it's wide open-ended where you have this kind of information that identifies somebody that you can use, you know, to do this. And the scary part, John, is that when they use this information and maybe have a procedure done, they can possibly get their information mixed up with your medical records, and that can cause a huge amount of problem. I want you to listen to a clip that I gave your producer, Brandon, from Eva Velasquez. She is the president and CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center. And in our Consumerpedia podcast that we just posted with this story, she talked about one true life victim of somebody who actually had their medical records commingled because of what the criminals did. And it was a nightmare. And take a listen.
We had a woman who was a victim of medical identity theft, had her identity misused to get medical services, but also prescriptions. So she was dealing with mixed medical records where she had improper diagnoses within her medical records that she had to clean up. She was dealing with her insurance provider trying to prove to them that I did not receive those, and she had to go through that issue of proving that to them. But with the prescriptions, what ended up happening was because it was for narcotics, it triggered law enforcement intervention because it was a many, many different pharmacies all in the same region. She not only had to deal with all of the medical issues and was unable to get prescriptions that she needed for her own medical care, but now law enforcement was investigating her for a crime, and she had to deal with that. And she didn't learn about that until they actually came to her home to issue an arrest warrant, went to her children's schools, pulled them out of school, and put them in the custody of Child Protective Services.
Wow.
It was absolutely devastating for her. And she did nothing. She was not a party to any of this. She did absolutely nothing wrong. But all of the burden fell on her to prove that she wasn't engaging in this behavior. Again, to the point where she had to deal with the criminal justice system in addition to her insurance provider and her healthcare provider.
And that's one example, John. Another example she gave me was someone where they have a treatment somewhere in your name, and that information then again gets commingled with your genuine medical record. So let's imagine that someone had their appendix out. It gets in your record that your appendix is out. You get rushed to emergency with symptoms of appendicitis, but your medical record says you don't have your appendix anymore. That may steer the doctors in the wrong direction trying to diagnose your situation because the medical record's wrong. I spoke to a teenager many years ago when I first did this story when it was just starting out, and she was at a high school where they had a car accident with kids involved, and they were doing a blood drive at school to help save these kids. They needed blood. She went to donate blood, and they said, sorry, you can't donate blood. You have AIDS. And she goes, I don't have AIDS. And they said, no, your record says you have AIDS. Well, it turns out that someone had used her medical records to get treatment for AIDS somewhere else in the country. It got mixed in her medical record, and it took her parents more than a couple of months to work with the American Red Cross to get that off her record. That's the kind of thing that can happen when these criminals monkey around with your medical records.
Wow. Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, will do more when we come back at 720 WGN. What's important is to pay attention to what Herb Weisbaum has to say here about data breaches of medical records. And when I'm reading the article, I mean, it's quite logical that before the digital age, when everything was done with paper, this kind of thing would be very difficult to do. But now everything's been digitized. It's online. And not only that, you mentioned these portals, which I think I have two or three of them. I think hospitals have portals. You get an email. You have something, a new lab result is on your portal. That I never thought of it until I read your article, but that's prime. It would seem like prime. The temptation to hack into that would be almost too tantalizing because it's already there.
Yeah, when there were paper records, the identity thieves had to break into a doctor's office or have an inside person there or a dumpster dive, rummage through the trash, so they couldn't get en masse the kind of data they can now by breaking into these databases. So, yes, digitization of medical records has been very helpful. It's helped us. It's helped the medical community. But all this sensitive information is stored in these databases in the cloud, and they're vulnerable to cyber attacks, so they can suck it all up when they want to if they're able to break in. A lot of information at the same time. And then we, as you said, all have a lot lot of us use the portals to get in. And quite frankly, a lot of people aren't as careful with the passwords that they set up or the protocols that they have for accessing these portals, which just gives the criminals one more way if they can hack into your computer and get into the portal. You know, the other thing about the medical community is that they use vendors. So the hospital may do the hospital part, but the billing people may do the billing part, and the people who handle the payments may do that. Different companies, they may be outside vendors who may also have vendors. All of those are potential weak links that can get the criminals into the medical database. They may not have to break into, you know, big time medical center, which may have better protocols. They can break into Joe Bob's, you know, processing company that's handling the bills by getting into their system and then working their way in to the medical database of the big medical center. So just having digitization gives them a lot more access points to be able to get this very sensitive information we have.
Under the heading of what we can do about it, how about fighting back, you did mention paying attention to your passwords. And I don't think you can change your passwords enough. I mean, it's one thing that can keep, that can add an extra measure of security if you keep changing them and changing them and changing them. I mean,
well, two things. Up. First of all, they got to be strong. They got to be strong. That means and they have to be unique. So that if they break into your PTA account for your kid's school, that's not the same password you're using for your medical records, because that's what they do. They run them for every account you have. So they got to be long and strong. But the other thing, when I make speeches, I always tell people, read the explanation of benefits that you get from your health insurance provider. You know that thing that says this is not a bill, real big at the top.
Yeah.
So you throw it away. You don't look at it. Well, it lists the prescription drugs and the medical supplies and the treatments and tests and procedures that you've had that period. And don't ignore, just take a look at it and make sure that you recognize all the goods and services that you've had, all the appointments you had. You know, if it shows that you had a kidney removed in Cleveland and you've never been to Cleveland and you still have your kidney, somebody's using your medical record to do something. Same thing, what we suggest, Checkbook suggests that you review your medical records maybe once or twice during the year when you're on the portal to see what the doctor said about the test. Take a look at your records and see, just make sure the drugs are right or appointments are right. You know, so all of a sudden there are these drugs that you didn't take or these appointments you didn't make. Again, that may mean that somebody's playing around with your medical record, and you can do something about that very quickly. As with anything else, the quicker you respond, the faster you let somebody know about this, the better it is. And we want to point out, and the Identity Theft Resource Center, a wonderful resource in San Diego, a nonprofit that works with victims and tries to help you get through this. They said, you know, we're always talking digital, but identity thieves will do anything they can. There could be the nickel and dime identity thief. They'd be more than happy to steal your purse or wallet or take that debit card connected to your health or flexible savings account or the card you use to access benefits from Medicare Advantage or whatever. Don't carry that around in your purse or wallet unless you need it. Take it with you when you go to the pharmacy or the doctor's office and leave it at home the rest of the time. And there's also apps that will let you securely store this information so you don't have to carry it around.
Once again, fantastic advice. So is there help available for people who are the victim of these types of things?
Yes, I would strongly recommend that if you are in a situation where you need some kind of help, the Identity Theft Resource Center is absolutely a wonderful resource. They were set up years and years ago by a couple, a husband and wife, who were both victims of identity theft back when we never heard of the term before, and they decided to set up this nonprofit. You can go to their website, idtheftcenter.org. idtheftcenter.org. You can talk to a trained counselor. You can chat with them online. They have all the procedures and protocols. They will tell you what you need to do right away to get yourself taken care of, to protect yourself, walk you through the process. Can't recommend them highly enough. They're a wonderful resource, the Identity Theft Resource Center. Again, nonprofit. It's all free. They're not going to ask you for any money, and they will help you get yourself back together again and help undo the damage that the identity thieves have done.
Well, let's talk about your podcast and how people can avail themselves of it.
Sure. It's called Consumerpedia, and we're now past 60 episodes. It's really amazing how quickly this thing goes. We talk for half an hour about a different topic that's interesting to you. You can find them all at consumerpedia.org. And if you want to, you can subscribe so it pops up. It's every other week. Or if you want to, you can just go to my website, consumerman.com. And the only thing you'll find there is every podcast and story I've done, the once-a-week story I do for checkbook.org. We're a nonprofit that just tries to help people be smarter consumers. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter if you'd like a whole bunch of Landecker fans have done.
Yes,
you'll hear from me every week. You'll hear from me every week. You'll see what I'm up to. And a lot of people listen to your show, John, and say, oh, I had a question, and they use the link to send me an email. I guarantee you I answer every single one of your listeners who write me. I will give you a response and answer your personal question. Happy to do that.
I know you will. Once again, great to talk to you, Herb. You always have
great
stuff.
Thanks, John. Be well.
Talk to you soon. You too. Be well is a great idea. Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man from consumerpedia.org. Yeah, medical records, portals. Well, I guess we'll just stay healthy.